Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where two old guys and one rather young lady talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I don't know if you guys know, but a while back, I got in trouble for showing my wiener to some kids.
What?
Okay, I phrased that wrong. I was also a kid at the time.
Okay. I think that's probably an important detail.
Okay, I don't know.
We're doing this live from Marshall County Jail.
It's double jeopardy. It's fine. Do whatever I want. Well, Dave, since you have a penis, you might know where I'm coming from.
Oh, I do.
But I know when I was little, when we'd go outside and I have to pee, Dad would just say, just go.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever we were, didn't matter. So that was just
outside kinda, of Home Depot.
Yeah, wherever. Most of, we spent a lot of time in the woods. I don't know why. So I just kind of carried that with me throughout my first 5 years of life until I started going to preschool. And I still don't know that you can't just pull it out and go wherever you are.
And you mean like to this day, you still don't
to
know.
This day, I still have to stop and think, pee here or don't pee here. I look at Meg, she'll shake or not.
Pee here?
She's my pee barometer. So like we were on the playground at preschool, and I remember I was standing in the middle of a bunch of other kids, mostly girls, and I just pulled it out and started peeing. And like, I remember the teacher freaking out. She turned around. All the girls were going, like pointing. So I was just in there peeing. I didn't know any better. So they had to call my parents. My parents came down. It was a whole big thing about me. They had explained to me where I should pee and where I shouldn't pee. And then,
what did Gary think about it all?
I like to think that Gary was there. I just didn't know him yet.
And just peeping from around the windowsill.
Soon. It's weird to think. I looked at my preschool class photo not too long ago, and I graduated with like four of those people. And it's weird that I did. It's very weird.
Do you have that laying around anywhere? Photographs of you in preschool? Because you've never once provided me with a photograph.
You're right. I need to. I need to just binge one day and just put up all these photos. I know my mom has it. So I was the smallest kid in my class. By far the smallest kid.
You proved that when you peed on the playground.
Yep. My girlfriend was by far the largest person in class, both in height and girth. She was nearly double my size.
All right.
That's me.
I'm Dave. You're the spectacled host. I don't have a wiener story, but I do have a creepy insight about me. I bite my nails, and this is something that a lot of people can just look at me and they'll observe me biting my nails. So this is public knowledge. What they don't know is at any given time, I'm not one of those weirdos who eats it, who eats the nail. I think that's weird. What I do is I keep my fingernails in my pocket. So at any given time, I've got, I don't know, maybe two or three fingernails in my pocket. Because if I put it in the trash can, that's where the witches will find
it. Yeah. I've seen The Sopranos. That's how they get your power.
Instead of The Sopranos?
Yep. The woman in Italy, yeah, she burns her fingernails still. Jacob York, also a fingernail biter, although he's not as neat and tidy. He just spits wherever he is. So
if I'm outside, I'll do that. It's like I'm eating sunflower seeds, man. I've been biting my nails so long, like the speed I can go through them, it's just like, jump, one's up, just spit it out. Like I try to see how many I can bite off when I'm walking in to work from my car.
I can't even imagine. I've got a weird nail inside as well. I like to trim mine so close that when I press out of my fingers, it hurts a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, I just dig that little pain that I get when they're really, really short.
No, I'm with you. That's why I chew them down to that. It's gross. We got a special guest host.
One creeped out rather young lady.
She looks so creeped out.
You guys are weird.
Hey, Nicole.
Hey. I was waiting for an introduction.
Everyone knows you. This is like Cheers.
Oh, okay. Everyone knows your name? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. As soon as they heard your voice, all our listeners are just like, yes.
Yeah, girl Nicole loves dick back. Pics.
Yeah. How many dick pics have you gotten?
I haven't gotten any, and I'm a little disappointed.
What the fuck?
Drew Rowland, you had one. You started following her. Now you can send her one.
You can send me one. It doesn't even have to be your own dick. You can just find a random dick and send me
one. Any dick, please.
I know what I'm doing Saturday.
The girl just wants a dick pic. Just send her a dick pic.
I don't have any weird stories about fingernail fetishes, but...
Well, any fetishes.
It's not a fetish, really.
Anything about fingers or fetishes, we'll take both. Mm-hmm.
I have a playground story, since you're talking about playgrounds. Okay.
Yes, please.
I was in probably the fourth grade, and I was on the playground with some other kids, and I decided that I was going to be cool, and I was going to do, like, a kick and kick this other boy down.
So cool. Mm-hmm. So cool.
Well...
Can you demonstrate...
Stand up and kick.
You're in Tadpog Studio.
No, sorry. Anyway, I went to kick him, and he was smarter than I was, I guess. So he grabbed my foot and lifted in the air, and I fell down on my back. And that is the only time in my life I've ever blacked out.
Wow.
From shame?
Yes.
He didn't pee on you, did he?
Bite his fingernails and pee on you.
Did we all go to preschool together? In some kind of time warp.
It's a weird yeah. time.
It's like Final Fantasy VIII style.
That 7-year preschool we all went to.
Went to. I'm waiting for the bus.
Technically, we're still there.
Just in case anyone out there doesn't know, what we like to do on this show, we're currently playing our way through IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games, and we muse about our experiences right here on Tadpog. This week, Tyler, what are we talking about?
The 62nd game. Mm-hmm. The Fightin' 62.
Don't know. That's lost on me.
Kirby's Dream Land 3.
Okay. Before we get into that, what have you been playing, Tyler? How's Steam Challenge going?
Right before I came over here, 10 minutes before I came over here, I beat Alice Madness Returns.
Did you text James immediately?
I didn't think about James. I just set it down. I was pretty happy. Pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
The game won longer than I thought it was. I didn't play Amnesia hardly at all. I got so into this game and spent 20 hours maybe on this
scared,
game.
Face it.
I was so scared. It was very good though. Nicole, I think you would love it. It's kind of scary, creepy. I think you like that it's the Alice in Wonderland kind of vibe from the artwork that you always look at when we're at Dragon Con.
Yeah, horror art. So.
Horror art.
You're getting confused. That's the art I look at Dragon Con. But it's not art. It's just, well... I'm not gonna be misogynistic.
Why'd you pick up on the streets of Las Vegas? It's just horror art.
It's just horror art, Mom. Relax. Relax. They have stars over their nipples, okay? It's fine.
I know this stack is 12 inches tall. Just relax.
They're like fucking baseball cards.
But I highly recommend it to anybody. It's a little older. I think it came out in 2011, but very, very good game. People can come over and play it on my laptop. I'll share. It's fine. It's fine. It's whatever.
Open invitation.
Yep.
Tyler's house.
Yep. My house. Just Google Maps. Just type in Tyler's house. They'll know what you're talking about. They know me there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm friends with Cal and Sally Google.
The Googlers.
The Googlers.
I now know what the name of my next Sim family is going to be.
Is that what you've been playing this week?
No.
Nicole, The Sims?
No. Sadly, I don't have time for that. The Sims is like a horrible time sink for me. I would just spend hours and hours. But I have been playing... several things. I finished Chrono Trigger.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just in the past.
Nicole's Prove You Love Josh Challenge.
I enjoyed Chrono Trigger. It was good. It was much better than...
Yeah, quote unquote, infinitely more than the Super Mario RPG.
Yes.
I'll drink to that. I like Super Mario RPG, but Chrono Trigger is like light years better.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I've played Kirby a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
As much as we could.
And then I've been playing The Room on iOS.
What's that? I don't know what that is.
It's like a puzzle game, and I love it. It's awesome. And it's older. I'd already finished it, but they came out with some new content because they're going to come out with a sequel later this year. So I like literally finished all the new content last night because I just couldn't put it down.
What kind of puzzle game is it?
Like The Room, essentially. I thought it was going to be like trying to get out of a room, but it's not. It's like there is a table and there's stuff on it, and you have to like figure out where the hidden things are and how you manipulate this to open different things to progress through.
Is it free?
You've got to play 999. You would love 999. It's like that, only with lots of horror elements.
Oh, that does sound good.
There you go.
It is not free. But it was...
But worth it?
Yes, definitely.
However much it is?
I think it was like $3, $5. It was worth it. Definitely worth it.
I spent 5-6 hours beating a AAA title, you know, $60. Mm-hmm. But I look at a price tag for an iOS game that I'll spend the same amount of time on, $4.99. My phone is even tied into my account. Like my mom's account, because I'm an adult, because that's how it works, and I'm still like, is this worth that phone call? What else have you been playing, Dave?
Not a whole lot, honestly, because I've been playing a lot of Kirby's Dream Land 3. Mm-hmm. But Nikki and I can make materia now on Final Fantasy 14.
I did not know that was the thing.
Mm-hmm. That's like a whole crafting system is making materia. Mm. So
that's the magic system, is equipping materia?
No, it's how you enhance gear. It's how you enhance weapons. Oh, okay. So it's almost Final Fantasy VII style. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you equip materia in slots, that kind of shit.
But then you still buy magic spells and stuff like that to progress?
I don't know, because neither of us are playing a caster. Oh, okay. So I have no idea where your spells come from. I don't know.
I'll have to join and be one then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think you should.
Okay.
So Kirby's Dream Land 3. Kirby's Dream Land 3. Did either of you play this as a kid?
Nope.
Nicole?
No.
I didn't either.
The first game I ever played with Kirby in it was the original Smash Brothers.
Wow.
Yeah.
You made it a long time without playing a Kirby game.
I missed the Kirby boat completely.
I played Dream Land on the Game Boy, and that's back when Kirby was white. I don't know if you recall the box art. He's white on it. And I think it was one of those things where I guess it really didn't matter what color he was because it was on the fucking Game Boy. So no one really gave a shit. And I guess he first turned pink in Dreamland 2. I'm not sure. Someone out there will know.
Yes, please. Since Nicole's here, she won't be on Facebook to answer any questions. So someone else.
Yeah, I guess, Nicole, you're on the show because you won the Megalixir contest. So this is your second reward, right?
Yeah, awesome.
How did you know that? I didn't think anyone was going to get that.
Well, I played the game. And I heard it, and it bugged the shit out of me all day long. I was like, I know what it's from. I know. I can hear it in my head. And then finally, at the end of the day, I just thought of it.
I was impressed.
I was too.
I was thoroughly impressed. It was all you. Like, Josh didn't help you.
Did not know. So it's all me because he didn't play that game. I did. So
it's good. It's good.
I was impressed.
Thanks.
I promise everybody, I was like, Nicole's going to come on. Nicole's going to host drunk. So I feel like I should say, you're not drunk.
No.
But you're halfway through your second Seagram's Escape Wild Berries.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she got. That was her prize and got to come on and host Tadpog. It was a 4-pack of Seagram's Escapes.
And we've got two lined up, ready for you to chug.
It's very tasty. It makes me think of like the first time I got drunk in college.
All right, let's hear that story.
No, I mean, there's not. I mean, I had like two of these and I barfed everywhere.
You're reminding me of a story. I'll save it.
And I'm drinking a Strongbow. I don't drink alcohol very regularly at all.
No, you don't.
Like, I'll probably get halfway about this and be done. But Strongbow's okay. Cider is okay.
How do you drink any of that?
Yeah, a little bit. I can see the light glimmering somewhere down there. I'm like a quarter of the way through it. It's only been an hour and a half.
You got plenty of time left.
It burns. It burns if you try to drink it real fast.
I'm drinking a Newcastle Werewolf since we're sharing. Mm-hmm. It's very tasty. I'm almost done, so we need to hurry up and finish the podcast so I can get another one.
Tyler and Dave and Nicole talk about beers. All right, Kirby's Dream Land 3.
Are you ready for a little segment?
Please.
All right, guys. Kirby's Dream Land 3, it is the fifth platformer video game starring Kirby. You would think it would be the third. It's not. Specifically, though, it's the third game under the Kirby's Dream Land name.
Okay.
As if that didn't go without saying. That is in the Wikipedia article, so I just want to clarify. Although the first two games were largely unrelated, Dream Land 3 features many similar characters to Dream Land 2. And it is the last, this is interesting, a little bit of trivia. I know you eat it up.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby's Dream Land 3 is the last first-party game released for the Super Nintendo in North America.
I saw it said 1997, so mm-hmm. I thought this is going to be a really, really late
one. Came out really late. The game's platforming mechanics are very similar to most other Kirby games. Kirby can jump and duck, slide and fly by inflating himself. And he can also perform his signature move. If you're unfamiliar with Kirby, that is inhaling enemies.
Mm-hmm.
When Kirby inhales an enemy, that enemy can be spit back out as a projectile or swallowed.
Yeah.
Normally, this has no effect on Kirby, although specific enemies grant Kirby copy abilities, mm-hmm. which is a staple of the Kirby games. Copy abilities, what they do is they replace Kirby's standard inhaling move with a special attack. And the special attack depends on what enemy Kirby swallowed. For example, just throwing this out there.
Yeah.
If Kirby swallowed a fire-based enemy, chances are that Kirby would be able to turn into a fireball.
Mm. You told me an interesting bit of trivia a few weeks ago about Kirby, how Kirby got his name.
Yes, a Nintendo lawyer.
Yeah.
By the name of, I can't remember his first name, but his last name was Kirby, because Kirby's original name was Popopo. I'm sorry, Popopo. Clearly it's Popopo.
Popopo, Popopo, Popopo.
Right.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Or maybe it's Popopa.
Oh, fuck.
I don't know.
P silent, it's just ooh.
So why did they change it? Did they just like this lawyer or what?
It was a lawyer that I think saved them a shitload of money on, God, I think it was like a Donkey Kong lawsuit or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, he pretty much saved Nintendo a fuckload of money. And I don't know if they just did it to honor him or if they were like, look, man, no one's going to play Popopo's Dreamland.
We like you, Kirby. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, all the kids are talking about Jack Kirby and Kirby vacuum cleaners anyway. We're just going to roll with it.
Yeah, you would think it was named after the vacuum cleaner.
Yep. It makes sense.
It makes complete sense, but no, that's not the case.
Smash Brothers being my first Kirby game, I can't think of Kirby without, you know, Smash Brothers. Mm-hmm. So playing Smash Brothers, I believe we were over at Jacob York's house.
Of Wolf Fighting Fame.
Of Wolf Fighting mm-hmm. Fame. So he's hosted too many shows, just Wolf Fighting right. Fame. It was, I believe, Jacob, myself, Ashley Shake, and Sean Miller. Or maybe it was Josh. We were all there playing Shake Chooses Kirby. He really just wanted to spit someone out and jump off the stage with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he wanted to do. So he got in the corner of the stage, does the inhale move, and he just sits there. Shake, what are you doing? I'm just going to sit here and suck until one of you guys comes in my mouth. And it's just, oh, wait, Kirby, Smash Brothers, Shake waiting for somebody to come in his mouth. That's it.
Did anyone come in his mouth or what?
Some things you don't talk about, Dave.
This game has a story, believe it or not.
Do you recall like to hear
what it is?
Nope. I just sort of sat down and started sucking on stuff.
Yeah, you did. They kind of gloss over it in the beginning of the game. Kirby in Gooey, which if you're not familiar with Gooey, he is Kirby's blob sidekick. And I got to say, I have to take a little bit of issue. If your whole persona revolves around sucking things into your mouth and swallowing or spitting, you probably don't want to name your sidekick Gooey.
Gooey.
There's probably about 10,000 other things that you can name your sidekick that are maybe just a little less suspicious than Gooey.
They only could have chosen Cumshot, and that would have been worse.
So anyway, Kirby and Gooey are on a quote-unquote fishing trip when all of a sudden dark matter appears. Not the magus spell. The enemy, dark matter. And he shatters the planet's rings. Kirby lives on planet Popstar, as we all know. Mm. He then proceeds to possess various Dreamlanders, including King DDD, or DDD.
Carlos Mencia ruined that character for me.
What the hell did Carlos Mencia have to do with him?
That his thing where he would make fun of mentally handicapped people and go, D-D-D.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I fucking hate Carlos Mencia. I hate him so much.
Why do you hate him? Because he steals material like we do on the show?
Well, we give credit to the people we steal it from.
Most
he would
time.
Steal it and try to make money.
Most of the time.
Well, he
did get rich off a lot of people's backs.
In Apology Episode Redux, we'll go through and find all the stuff we need to put. This is our footnotes episode, and we'll give everybody credit for every joke we've stolen.
The title just needs citation. Well, anyway, Kirby and Gooey, they team up with a menagerie of animals, as one is to do in a situation like this. Those include Rick, Koo, and Kine. Kine, I don't know.
Kine.
And then there's some new ones, Pitch, Choo Choo, and Nago.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they have to collect all of the heart stars to create the Love Stick. Not making that up.
Yep.
The Love Stick. And defeat Dark Matter with it.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to put the Love Stick where it's dark.
Did you like the Love Stick, Nicole?
Yeah, what do you think about the Love Stick?
The name? It's pretty awful.
Nice sidestep. Okay, I get this. This is the third game in this series. You know, they have to mix up the formula. This installment, they really need to shake it up. They can't come up with the same thing again. I get that. I understand that. I support that. I felt like this game was really less about Kirby. I feel like just playing as Kirby wasn't that fun. It's like the levels weren't meant for you just to be Kirby. You are meant to have an animal companion and only a certain one for that level.
Yeah, and some of the... You had to solve puzzles in certain levels.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in order to collect a heart star so you can get your love stick.
Mm-hmm.
In order to collect the heart stars, you have to complete a puzzle in a level. Every level has a puzzle. And some of the puzzles go hand in hand with what you just said. You can only get the heart star if you complete the level with a certain animal.
Mm-hmm. And you don't know until after it's done.
Yeah, that's the frustrating part of it. You'll get to the end of the damn level, and then you'll realize what you were supposed to do. Because there'll be some kind of indication at the very end. Usually, in my case, because I didn't get many heart stars, mm-mm, I would get to the end and I would just be confronted with a very sad animal at the end. Just, why didn't you complete the task that I didn't even tell you needed to be done?
Because your only hint is a picture at the beginning of the stage.
Yeah.
Like a very small... A
portrait of the thing you're supposed to help.
Don't know how you're supposed to help it. But
at all.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when you're in the area where you're supposed to do something, there'll be a little chime noise, which just infuriated me because I would hear the chime noise and I would get frustrated because it'd be like, I know I'm supposed to do something here. What is it? Mm. And then I'd start poking around. And Nicole, you mentioned this. Several of the creatures that you need to help are actually flowers. And I remember the first time I ran across the flowers, I had the same experience that you did. And that is...
The very first stage of the first level, your clue is a little picture of a flower.
Mm-hmm.
So my automatic assumption is, oh, I'm supposed to get all these flowers.
Right.
When in reality, you're supposed to avoid all the flowers, mm-hmm, which makes no sense at all.
Because you go to grab one and you just murder it.
Yeah.
You murder it. And I remember like when I did that, I was like, oh God, I did something I was not supposed to do.
We played Kirby's Avalanche. We know he's insane.
Yes.
I didn't even like, you knew after you squashed one that you weren't, I squashed all of them.
Out of spite?
I thought this was the right thing to do.
These are evil flowers. Clearly we had to kill all of them.
Well, I was
TGRI. The mutagen got all over all of them.
Well, I got to I smashed one and I was like, well, that clearly wasn't right because like right, as soon as you smash it, you see this dead flower that looks all like, obviously that was not the right decision. But I was like, you know what? Maybe you get a consolation if you kill all of them. So yeah, I killed all of them in the level. No consolation. You just get you're greeted by a very sad flower at the end of the level.
And I should preface what I'm about to say by my brother used to collect Super Nintendo games. He had a crazy impressive collection. He sold it in order to pay for his wedding. Like, I remember he sold, like, $2,000. Like, he had a very, very nice collection.
I'll say, Jesus.
He gave me a few of his games that he thought they were hard to find, so he gave me a few. Soul Blazer,
nice.
Chrono Trigger, and this was one of them. Legally, from what I understand about the law, is you can play a game on emulator if you own the game. I own the game, but I like playing on my computer when I can.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried playing this on an emulator. Nicole was very, very frustrated trying to play this on an emulator.
It was a fucking awful decision.
I tried ZSNES, and apparently there's some sort of texture error. So everything that would normally be translucent is opaque. Am I using the right terminology there?
Mm-hmm.
You can't see 3/4 of the level.
Fun.
Yeah, and we didn't find out that was... Yeah, I played the whole stage thinking that was intentional that I couldn't see.
You spent 3 hours playing the game where their levels were just impossible.
Yeah, and they're all around like, oh no, that's part of it. That's why it's challenging. And I was like, I can't fucking see anything.
Like the tree level, or you can only see like just like little bits and pieces in between the leaves, like almost the entire level. She beat it though.
How?
Persistence.
Nice. Is that, please tell me that's your achievement.
Emulation Nation.
Well, yeah. And we did it, and then we had done a couple other stages until we got to another tree stage, and I was like, there's no way I can do this, because you couldn't see anything but green. Anything.
Well, same for water. Water was just gray. So, like, any underwater level, it's just nothing you can do. So, I had to resort to the old-fashioned way that you're supposed to do it. Thanks, developers.
Thanks, awful pirates, for not doing this correctly.
Yeah.
Assholes.
I want to talk about the 1-3 with the...
The 1-3?
Nicole rage quit, Josh rage quit, like it was...
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking
about. It's the third stage in the first level.
Oh, okay.
You're going down. It's one of the... where you're forced... the screen's moving. You're forced to go down. And you can't go down. And... I did it for like 30 minutes and Josh did it for like 30 minutes and we had to look up what to do. It was...
Which one? I'm not recalling
this. It's like the Porky Pigs and they're jumping down. Every time they hit one of the walls, it shakes. And Kirby can't move whenever the screen shakes. So you're trying to drop through the level fast enough, not when the Porky Pigs are hitting the side of the stage. Kirby would only drop one platform one out of every 10 tries.
And it was like...
there are 20 platforms you have to drop.
And you would die. We would die within like a second of it starting.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
We just over and over and over.
I don't even remember this level.
We got so frustrated.
Really?
All of us. Because it's just like, how is this game this fucking hard? Aren't Kirby games like notoriously kind of easy? What the fuck is going on here? But we had to go get Koo the Owl.
And I think that lends itself to what you just said earlier, is that I think if you have certain animals with you, it makes it a lot easier. Honestly, guys, I don't even remember that. And it's probably because when I play Kirby games, I just avoid everything.
Yeah.
I avoid what I can and special ability my way through what I can't.
Because we thought we were supposed to inhale. You could inhale the... I think it looked like a cross between porcupines and pigs, so porcupines.
Razorback, clearly.
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense.
I like porcupines better.
I like porcupine too.
You could inhale. I thought you were supposed to, every time you drop, inhale one, so the effect isn't enough. By the time you get to the bottom, it'll be fine. No. Once you started inhaling, he wouldn't stop. Kirby would keep inhaling until the screen hit him. So, like, we're like, all right, the button, like, set the controller down. Stop sucking, Kirby. Nope. He just keep going until he inhaled the last one, because there were like six, and then screen hits dead.
Was it your sticky controller? Because I remember playing tennis, and one of us played the whole fucking game with the sticky controller. It was you, because when we switched, I was like, how the fuck did you play with this?
No wonder you were losing every single match every single time. I think these controllers are spot on. I don't, Dave. I don't think that at all.
What did you guys think about the way the game looked?
I liked it.
You liked it? Mm-hmm. What did you like about it?
It was cutesy.
Yeah.
It was like crayon looking, and I liked it a lot.
I think it was kind of done to be timeless. That kind of art and style is, you know, it ages very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Being the last Super Nintendo game, now that I know it's the last one, I feel like it...
It's the last first party.
Oh, okay.
I think Frogger was the last Super Nintendo game to come out in North America.
It probably came up before Yoshi's Island then, or after Yoshi's Island. So I feel like Yoshi's Island, that's perfect. Like, that's how you do graphics that are going to look good forever.
Uh-huh.
No matter who you are, at what point of life you're in, those look good. Kirby's Dream Land 3 is almost there. It's done in that style, but it looks a little dated.
I agree with you, man. I liked a lot of the art style, Nicole. I liked that cutesy look. I thought it kept with Kirby, and I think it strengthened what makes Kirby games different from other Nintendo games. I had a few issues, like the foregrounds and the sprites I thought were done really well because they're lively and animated and cutesy. Some of the backgrounds are like, it's a weird juxtaposition of cutesy sprites and foregrounds it's like they almost try to do realistic backgrounds.
Mm.
So it kind of looks like you're playing Kirby's Dream Land, but it's overlaid on Out of This World or something like that. It's like these lush forests and shit in the background. It's just kind of weird.
I remember seeing like weird triangles and stuff over the place. It was kind of like he's playing right in front of Nickelodeon Studios.
Yeah. You know, the slime is edible.
I remember I saw a picture, I think, on Our Nostalgia about this is what it looks like now. And it was, you know, because every Nickelodeon show back in the 90s, they would show, you know, Nickelodeon Studios. And they showed it now and it's dilapidated and empty.
Oh.
And like all the letters are gone. That's and you're going to see there's a weird, shitty architecture just out of nowhere. So yeah, your childhood is dead. Mm-hmm. It's dead and buried.
That's the carcass. Yeah, it's not buried. It's just out. The it's corpse. Just out for anyone to steal a letter.
Just nature's taking it back slowly. Just what's left of everything you loved. Mark Wiener, he's gone. Wienerville's gone.
I think he hosts a channel just dedicated to 90s Nickelodeon now. I think Mark
Wienerville.
I think Mark Wiener is the host. He's like the clip show host for this. Or like, what was it? Up All Night? Do you remember on USA?
Yeah.
Gilbert Godfrey. Okay. He's like Gilbert Godfrey for 90s Nick.
Gilbert Godfrey of 90s Nickelodeon.
But I don't know, man. Overall, I was kind of unimpressed because of exactly what you said. As I was playing it, I was thinking to myself, how the fuck does Super Mario World look better than this game?
You're right, it does.
I know the answer to that. The answer is they spent a lot more time and money on Super Mario World. But still, it's fucked up to look at a game that came out in 1997 versus a game that came out at Super Nintendo launch. They're both first party. And Super Mario World looks amazing still. And Kirby's Dream Land 3, I kind of thought looked like a Super Game Boy game.
Yeah, you guys will know because you're color people. Like, what is like paint that is shiny compared to paint that is dull? What is that? What's the difference?
Like,
what
are they called? Versus a matte gloss?
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. Super Mario World is glossy.
Uh-huh.
Kirby's Dream Land 3 is matte.
Uh-huh.
Like, they look the same. It's just
one. There's just not a lot of dimension
to
Kirby's Dream Land, I thought. But I agree with you, Nicole. I think that they made the right decision in making it cutesy because that totally sticks with everything we know about Kirby. What do you think?
She's nodding her head in agreement.
Yeah.
Sorry.
She's really drunk right now.
No.
We're gonna rob the Kether's rhythm to her work and just like, she's so drunk.
Crazy. I kind of thought this game was slow. And I thought it was easy. I got the game over screen once.
I kind of felt like that was like easiness is kind of a standard. It's sort of like Shrek, in which it's kind of built for kids, but adults can find some enjoyment out of it, but it's just a little easier.
It's certainly easier than, say, Mario or I think any of the other Nintendo games, first-party games. But I think the sound was good.
Yeah.
The music was really slow, I thought, which made this game seem, which I thought was already kind of slow, it made the game seem really slow to me. Mm-hmm. Like, there were certain levels where the music's real down tempo and kind of soothing and lulling, and I'm just kind of plodding along as Kirby. Mm. It wasn't very exciting.
I can see that. Well, you're right, the music's slow. I liked the music.
Uh-huh.
I think it wasn't, it wasn't like it should have been for the game. Yeah, it was slow, and when Kirby's in a boss battle or with so many enemies, it should pick up.
And it does a little bit, but it's weird that there's just a few stages where the music is just totally up-tempo, and those stages are the ones where I feel like, all right, let's do this. Let's play this Kirby game.
And when you're playing it, because at the bottom of the screen, your health bar, the stars, the power you've acquired from your enemies, it's all right there on the screen. And it takes up a quarter of the screen. I fucking hated that. I think there's just too much shit going on the screen. I'd rather press start and see a different screen and have the world be larger. It looks like everything's too compressed because of that huge status bar at the bottom.
I feel the opposite. I like to have all that stuff on the screen.
You'd like to know exactly
where
you are.
Yeah, I like to know exactly what's going on and how much health I have. And
see, it's too bad you don't like first-person shooters. Because you'd probably really like Dead Space. Because one, it's horror. Two, you can see everything. Like, the health bar is illustrated on his back, and you see his gun has a projection of all the bullets. Like, there's no separate screen because everything's right there.
Yeah.
It doesn't take you... Normally, it's hard for horror games because you'll want to pause it to check your health or your inventory. It takes you out of the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so even Dead the HUD Space would.
Keeps you there. Mm-hmm. So, but they make you sick. So
I generally don't like shoot shit games. So
shoot shit games.
Yeah. That should be a developing studio if I've ever heard it. Shoot shit games. I like that.
People can fly. Can just reintroduce themselves as shoot shit for Bulletstorm 2.
Only British people can fly.
Only British people.
So there's animals in this game, Tyler.
Yeah.
Tell me about him.
Okay, from my memory, of course, Rick the hamster.
A classic hamster name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Growing up, I didn't know a kid who didn't have a hamster named Rick.
It's true. The hamster that peed on my head. Remember that story I told a long time ago? Was named Rick. I didn't think it wasn't topical at the time, but it is now.
Rick looks like he's short-haired, and Meg's hamster was long-haired, but he looks just like Meg's long-haired hamster, Norbert.
I didn't know there were long-haired hamsters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That sounds ugly.
It was cute.
Yeah, they're not ugly. I think
looked like a cotton ball that had just been pulled apart a little bit, and it could move.
I think I'd have the same problem with a long-haired hamster as I do with all long-haired animals, and that's just they inevitably get their shit entwined in their fur. But hamsters have those little pellets, so maybe you're okay.
Yeah, it's fine. But he just, because that was the only pet. She loves animals. She had to have a pet in college. It's the only kind of cuddly sort of pet that she could have. So she loved Norbert. He reminded me of Norbert. She probably would have liked this game.
I don't like hamsters, just because.
Not enough personality?
I got bit by one time, and that's it. No more hamsters.
Is a hamster bite painful?
Well, it's a bite. Or is it just
like, I mean, it's just unsettling. Like,
well, it's unsettling, but I was bit for no fucking reason.
Yeah, I mean, and I bled. I remember bleeding, too. So.
Oh, okay.
I did not know we shared this hamster experience. I wonder if it was the same one.
Rick. It's a good thing you didn't have your period then, otherwise now you'd be allergic to hamsters.
What?
That's how it happens.
Magic.
That's one of Tina Fey's jokes, that she's allergic to dogs because when she had her first period, she got bit by one. Now she's allergic. Footnote, Tina Fey. There you go.
Science.
Put it out there.
Who else you got? You got a hamster named Rick.
Well, there's Choo-Choo.
Choo-Choo.
I don't know what the hell Choo-Choo is.
I think she's a baby mind flayer.
Okay, that's fair.
Which I know we talked about drow last week. I'm not going to do a day read from Wikipedia Mind Flayer. I'll just wing it. They are creatures that live near the drow in the Underdark. They're essentially humans with squids for heads.
They're Cthulhu if you were human-sized.
Right.
She's pink and she has a bow though, right?
Yeah. She does. But here's why.
She's cute Cthulhu.
Baby. Yeah, she's a little baby mind flayer. And the reason I say that is because did you notice how Kirby looks when you choose her? His eyes are always closed. She's controlling his mind.
Sucks onto the top of his head.
Because even when you pick up the cut ability with Kirby, when you're using Choo-Choo and he lifts her off his head and swings her like a sword, his eyes are still closed.
Hmm.
I think she's mind controlling him. That's my theory.
We haven't brought up Earthbound yet, so I got to bring up Earthbound. There's an enemy called Belch from Earthbound. Uh-huh. Belch is a pile of vomit, some kind of gross dispensed liquid.
This game sounds so good, Tyler. Yeah, yeah, so good.
Yeah. He's this awful, disgusting enemy, and then eventually he becomes Barf, and you have to fight Barf, but she looks like the cutesy girl version of Belch.
Does he become a Golgothan after that?
That would make sense.
They cut that from the final game.
Yeah. Kevin Smith is like, no.
The scene.
Good try,
the
eight.
The scene in Earthbound where Salma Hayek's about to take her top off, and then they fight the shit monster.
Oh, yeah, that scene. That was, even though nothing happened, that scene still worked
for me. We could spend 30 minutes talking about that scene.
Nicole, we're going to spend 30 minutes talking about Dave and I masturbating Salma Hayek. You can jump in if you have a story about Salma Hayek.
I am not going to answer that.
That's okay. Let's see.
So Choo-Choo and Rick.
And there's Kine the fish.
Worthless.
Kine.
I think it's probably Kine.
Kine.
Worthless.
The first time...
Well, that's
we got him. You just started laughing. This is where we're just playing. We get Kine, and Nicole just erupts in laughter.
What was funny?
Well, because the fish carries Kirby in his mouth, and so it essentially looks like a fish with a ping pong ball in its mouth. It's quite humorous.
Yeah, I kind of, you put that in a much nicer way, because I thought it looked like, well, we're not going to get into it.
No, we're anti-misogyny now. We're not getting into it.
It's not anti-misogyny. It's just a poop joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm totally on board with it. Just keep going then. Because still, even the way we talk about him, Kirby's just an accessory. He's the main character, but he's an accessory for his friends. Kirby's just a doormat for this, especially the cat, Nago. Because Nago he's abusive to Kirby.
Nago is my favorite.
I think he's the best one.
And it's because he's abusive. No, it's because he's adorable. He's adorable.
He's a giant Japanese cat.
Yes. Or maybe Kirby's just small. But then Rick would be huge.
Rick is the size of a cat.
Rick's the same size as the cat. What's going on? But I love this cat. He was, well, first of all, he was very handsome. Mm-hmm. A very handsome cat.
I pet that cat.
I would love to pet that cat. And he just rolls Kirby around. Like, Kirby doesn't get on him. He just uses Kirby as a ball. And my favorite is when Kirby has inhaled and devoured. Because let's be honest, that's what he does. He devours and steals his enemy's power. My favorite was when Kirby has the electricity ability. Mm-hmm. And you've got the cat. And the cat does this thing where it looks like he's kneading him. Mm-hmm. And like these little sparks and stars come out of Kirby, and you build up static electricity, and then you can just charge to the whole level as an electric cat.
Because it was very cool that each power translated differently. Because I know you were...
Depending on which animal.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say animal companion.
So even after all the frustration, you wanted to keep playing just to see all the combinations.
Because I wanted to see all the different combinations.
There are a lot of combinations because there's six animals, and then I think there's like eight copy abilities. So, Nicole, you're good at math. How many possibilities are there? Is it just 6 times 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, it's more than that.
Right? Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're the math person.
I need a piece of paper and less alcohol.
Whenever we play D&D and there's a numbers puzzle, we just hand it to Nicole. Uh-huh. If it's a word riddle, Miller, we're number puzzle, Nicole.
Miller of Populous fame and Pilot Wings fame.
Yep. And I was trying, he was like, oh, I need to keep this streak up. What's 60? Aladdin. What's 50? Okay.
Solid pass. So after the cat, who you got?
Let's see.
Who's left?
There was Koo the owl.
The owl was really what made me like want to see all the different combinations.
Why's that?
Because whenever you had the broom and the owl, whenever you use it, Kirby uses the owl as a feather. Like duster.
Yeah.
It's very cute.
I guess in the American version, it should have been like Hoot Hoot. But I guess Hoot Hoot's also a Pokemon.
Why
so
did
I guess
Nintendo not hire you? Just walk into the meeting, just knocking artboards over. What is this coup bullshit? Yeah.
Owls go Hoot Hoot. All right.
Who the fuck do you think you are? Yuki's mama? You can't be making calls like this shit.
I can do a Japanese impression.
Let's not.
No, Owls Hoot go coo. Are you like that?
Yeah, that's great.
I respect Japanese. It's a sign of respect.
All right.
I love Japanese games.
Right off the coattails of Zach's Oriental comments. Okay, that's going to go over really well.
I love Joanne. I'm never saying anything like that.
But yes, I don't know why they would name an owl Koo.
Do they have owls in Japan? I mean, if not, you know, other birds say coo, and so that's a bird. So, yeah.
I mean, I think of chickens as saying coo.
Really?
What? A rooster crows, and a chicken kind of coos.
No,
clucks.
Yeah. A dove coos.
I guess I'm thinking they're called cuckoos in Zelda, right? You should know this. This is one of the games you play.
I know. I should know it.
Because I remember there's a big bit on David Sedaris does about a rooster crows differently in every language.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that if there are owls in Japan, unless it's a mythical creature over there, I don't know. But I can only assume they coo. So
okay,
that's gotta be where it comes
that
from.
That has to be.
So I'm trying to think of what David Sedaris said, like other countries, like Spain, a rooster goes kiki.
And not really. I mean,
are you sure, Nicole?
I'm pretty sure that the rooster sound doesn't make a different noise depending on where they are.
I guess they hear it differently.
The people
like
make different noises. Why can't the roosters?
maybe Spanish roosters sound different.
Is that a Spanish dialect?
Like, my cats aren't going to understand someone who's speaking Spanish.
Or they wouldn't understand a Spanish cat.
Yeah. They just look at each other.
Cats don't talk to each other anyway.
Oh, that's bullshit. Oh, that's bullshit. No, they totally talk to each other. They can project to... Dave and I have talked about this. They project to the astral plane where they have a whole other society.
Uh-huh.
I could write... For Meg and I just bullshitting every day, I could do a 10-page story just on cat mythos.
That's a podcast.
Around river and sky, our cats. So...
Maybe the cats talk in the astral plane, but...
There you go.
They don't talk to each other in... this plan.
With purrs.
All right, Nicole.
But that's not, they're not talking
to each
other.
It's a method of communication. What is
with
talking?
With humans, it's a method of communication with humans, not with each other.
But is that
look
not,
it up, look
is
it up.
That not their language then?
Look it up.
Method of communication is language.
Look it up.
So that's their language.
Cats don't talk to each other.
Look, it's in the philosophy of cats. Come on.
I believe it was Heidegger who wrote the philosophy of cats.
What other fucking animals are in this game?
Pitch the bird,
mm-hmm.
who I thought he looked like his name would be Doug. I think Doug is a better name.
Just a green bird.
Just a green bird.
Doug.
Don't look at me like that. He looks like a Doug.
He had one of my favorite combos with Kirby. And it seems like a lot of my favorites involve Kirby having the lightning or the electricity ability. Because when you would team up with Doug, or Pitch, mm-hmm. if you will, mm-hmm. when Kirby had the electricity power up, Kirby would control him like a radio-controlled airplane. So he would literally stop wherever he is, stand there, pull out a controller, and you would just drive Pitch all around the
That's nice. The I like stage. That.
There's one other, right?
And if we're not counting Gooey?
Yeah, we're not counting Gooey.
Gooey's awful.
Yeah, Gooey is awful.
Gooey's the tingle of Kirby's Dream Land 3.
That's pretty harsh.
I know. I know.
Hamster, cat.
Hamster, owl. Cat.
Owl.
Owl.
Bird.
Fish.
Fish.
Blob. Choo-choo.
Choo-choo. Oh, yeah, I guess we did get them all.
Blob.
Barf. Belch. Cthulhu. Mind Flayer. Illithid. Thing. One of those aliens from Futurama that attached to Fry's head and can control him.
I thought she kind of looked like a little, like a Pac-Man ghost.
Only yeah.
Curved instead of pointed at the bottom.
Sexy.
She's a girl, yeah.
A sexy ghost.
But the way that they all the animal companions mistreat Kirby, it's almost like he's just a masochist. He needs to be rolled around yeah. and...
Cause, and then the animation when you press down, it looks like he's just taking what he wants. He's taking his catly pleasures from Kirby, just squishing him and then just hovering behind him. And Kirby looks like he's grimacing in pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, you squish good. Mm-hmm.
Where's Choo Choo? That's what he's thinking. I don't even remember what happens when Choo Choo's on me. I just wake up and it's the end of the level.
I thought the Samus tie-in on that one level was nice.
It's cute. Yeah. Where you get the kill the Metroids, mm-hmm. which I didn't know.
Yeah, you just find Metroids. They just kind of attach to you, mm-hmm. but you don't lose any health or anything.
Right.
So then Samus is at the end, and we just saw sad Samus.
She just kind of stands there.
Like, would she, like, if you kill all the Metroids, you get there, then you see her large picture of her in a bikini. That's your reward. Because that's always your reward with Samus.
Right.
What's under the armor?
This game reminded me of another game, Tyler. In fact, all Kirby's do. All Kirby games remind me of one of my favorite Mario games that a lot of people will disagree with. Reminds me of Super Mario Brothers 2, which I know, not technically a Mario game.
Well,
it is here.
I think technically it is a Mario game because, I mean, it's a Mario game.
In like North America it is.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where Kirby's like this quirky little platformer mm-hmm. where it involves you interacting with things in the environment more so than you normally do in a platformer. And I like that. That's intriguing to me because Kirby's much like a toddler, walking around just sticking things in his mouth, trying to figure shit out. But I like that because in a lot of platformers, it seems like you're just jumping from ledge to ledge and trying to dispatch with enemies. But in Kirby games, it really feels like you can play it in so many different ways. Like you can go through a level just trying to avoid shit like I normally do, or you can go through with an agenda and try to pick up as much shit as you can and toss it back out at enemies.
Yeah. If you want to go down with me down a rabbit hole, I've got something similar that Kirby makes me think of.
Okay, let's do it.
So Kirby reminds me of Peter from Heroes. Because any...
Which one was it? It's been a long time.
Peter, he was the main hero. He was the mimic. Like in the first...
The main hero is Hero.
I think that's arguable, but...
That's for another podcast.
That's for our Heroes podcast. It's good for two episodes and that's it. Peter Petrelli, in the first season...
He was one of the brothers. Is this the one that could...
He's the younger brother.
Okay.
The other one is the one that can fly.
Yeah. See, I get them confused all the time. Okay.
Because Peter... At first, like the first two seasons, his power is if he's around another mutant, he gets their power.
Right.
He can use all of them at once. So I guess they realize the writers have been like, okay, that's too powerful. He's going to meet too many people.
He's going to meet Hero and the world's going
to. before he has too many experiences with Hero. Like they reboot Peter to where he has to physically touch them, and he has one power at a time.
It's an unstoppable. I never saw any of that.
God, it made me so sad because I loved the first season of Hero.
Yeah, I loved
it so much.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it got really...
It turned to shit.
It got bad very quickly. Season two was awful. Season three was really awful.
I tolerated season two. And then when season three started, I just... Nope.
Yeah, it was done. Oh, man. Because like, I can understand, like, Siler being, you know, because he kills people and takes their power. It's a good villain and helps him build up and up and up and up. That's solid. I guess they didn't want to have Peter be similar, so they make him like Kirby.
Uh-huh.
One power at a time. He has to give up it to get another one.
Okay.
So that he reminds me.
Of Siler.
Yeah.
Because he's got to kill him to get the power.
Yeah, it's true.
And then one day he'll become Spock.
And Heroes being bad then reminded me of a show that I loved when it started. I went back and tried to watch it recently, and I was so sad because it did not hold up in any way, shape, or form.
That couldn't have been that long ago.
Mork and Mindy. Loved Mork and Mindy as a kid.
It doesn't hold up?
Not at all.
Nicole, do you even know what that is? I'm not questioning your intelligence. I'm just questioning the fact that I'm probably like 8 years older than you are.
I know what it is. I don't know that I've ever seen an episode of it.
Okay.
I've got season one. I'll give it to you and you will not like it at all.
There you go.
Was it on the air at the same time as like ALF?
It was before ALF. But it may have been running in syndication.
It was on Nick at Night.
Yeah.
That's how I saw it.
I watched a lot of Nick at Night, but that wasn't one of the ones I watched.
Okay. It might have been out of rotation by the time.
I watched Mindy and Mork. It was from Eastern Europe. I don't know.
Mindy and Mork. He's...
And it never made any sense.
Mindy Mork's you.
It was the prototype for Perfect Strangers, I guess. I don't know.
After, because I liked Mork and Mindy so much, doesn't hold up, but Robin Williams, he's a very specific taste because he's so raw. And his new show is okay.
You've seen it?
Yep.
What is it? I don't even know he had a new show.
It looks good.
It's him and Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Okay.
And he's...
He plays the genie from Aladdin.
He's just Robin Williams. He's just erratic, fast-talking, all over the place.
I hope in all the promos, that's how they plug it. Sarah Michelle Gellar, like, they go into detail of her character. She's a reporter and loves pizza and hangs out. And then there's Robin Williams. Like, he plays himself.
Yeah, you know him. Have you seen Toys? Take that, back it off a little bit.
The show is about, they have an ad agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar is his daughter, and they work together. He's like the big wig, and he's sort of getting out of it. Now he's coming back, and she loves him, but also kind of can't stand him, which I kind of feel like that's how everybody feels about Robin Williams.
It's like he's the eccentric, and she's the one trying to keep the company on track.
He's chaotic, and she's lawful.
She doesn't have to act.
This is a big paycheck, so I'm just going to roll with this. There's no Buffy season 8, so we're just going to do this.
Work it so long. I don't know. What has she been doing besides this?
Last thing she had that failed show.
Yeah, like...
She was twin. She was one twin, murdered the other twin, and took their place.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Meg watched it because the character's name was Siobhan, which is spelled traditional Irish, like C-I-O-B-A-H-N.
No offense to Meg. That seems like a really weird reason to watch a show.
Well, she was almost named that, spelled the same way. Her mom changed her mind at the last minute. So that's why she's
still,
sort of like...
Still not a good reason to watch the show. I'm sorry.
We never watched it. The only reason I knew because they made a big deal in the first year we went to Comic-Con and like showed it. And everybody was all excited about this.
Sarah Michelle Gellar's back.
Yeah.
She's not doing Scooby-Doo movies. She's back on TV. But then that led me to another TV thing.
Mork
and Mindy, Robin Williams, and then a popular theory. Like, I think it's very interesting. The show Saint Elsewhere.
I've never seen it.
I haven't seen an episode either. Okay. But this is where it originates. Like, it was a really successful show in like the 70s, 80s. Like, a show about a hospital. It takes a weird twist at the end. Like, a character you meet halfway through is a boy that's autistic. And they're trying to help him, and he has trouble communicating. You don't see him. You see him in that one episode. You don't see him again until the end. And then at the end, it turns...
By the end, you mean the end of that episode or the end of the show?
The entire series.
Okay.
The entire series ends, and the boy's name is Timmy Westfall.
Okay.
The series ends with Timmy Westfall sort of leaning back, and the show that has been on for many, many seasons was his daydream.
I've heard of that.
Tie back to Mario 2.
Well, see, that implies that any spinoff that came out of St. Elsewhere, any character that was in St. Elsewhere, it all is part of Timmy Westphal's imagination. And the guy, he's on NY, or Law and Order, the guy with the glasses, detective, whatever. Munch has been on so many other shows and was also in St. Elsewhere. So that means that every single show he has ever been on is part of Timmy Westphal's imagination.
That character was in St. Elsewhere?
He makes an appearance there. Makes an appearance in It's Always Sunny.
You realize that none of this is real, right?
Right.
us right here? Like, it's not real.
No, it's just, of course, it's not real. Well, just the
it's theory, on television.
They can trace it back that almost all television takes place in Timmy Westphal's imagination.
I've heard that.
Well, you can link in the show notes. There's a big like YouTube video on it.
I'm hoping that's easy to find because I guess I'll just search for Timmy Westphal.
Timmy Westphal theory
destroys reality. he's like Legion.
Exactly. Like they trace it to like almost every show on TV. Like they draw it to Alias, to Buffy, to like you can make connections to almost every TV show. And I should also add that the love stick, clearly a very powerful Turangriel. That's how you can think of Turangriel.
That's the first thing I thought of too. I always think of the love stick as a Turangriel.
Yeah, damn right.
You have achievements for this game?
I do. All right, so I've got two.
Uh-huh.
So I'll read these two slowly, and you two can gather what you think.
I already got some.
Okay.
Damn it, Nicole.
Can't be what we talked about earlier. The first one is Cats in the Cradle, and you have to beat a world entirely with Naga the Cat.
Cool. All right. I like that.
And the other one is Rickrolled, to where the animals, if you get a choice to choose between one or the other, and whichever one you don't choose looks sad.
I love that. That's a little bit of character that I love in this game. Yes. When you choose one, all the other animals look either, they look visibly upset that you did not choose them.
Because Pitch gets angry.
Mm-hmm.
The others look, they're kind of sad, but yeah, Pitch gets pissed. But so if it's Rick the hamster and someone else, you choose the other one, and then right before you're about to leave, you switch out and you get Rick and you leave. Rickrolled.
That's good.
Nicole, what you got? You got a note? What the hell?
I wrote them down. I thought about this today. I actually have four.
Fuck me.
Nice.
But three of them kind of go together.
Okay.
What are they? So the first one is called I Work Alone. And that's to finish the game without using GUI at all.
Okay.
Okay.
The second one is...
You got that one today, right?
Yeah.
The second one is Two's Company, which is to use an animal friend on every level.
Okay.
And the third one is, but three's a crowd, in which case you would be using GUI and an animal friend on every level.
That'd be fucking hard.
Yeah, I man, I used GUI like at the very beginning. I bleep, brought him out. Mm-hmm. By the end of that level, I don't think I ever used him ever again. Because I was like,
well, I don't think that we mentioned that whenever you use GUI, it takes your hit away from your hit points.
Yeah, it takes two hit points away. We didn't mention much about GUI because no one should use him ever. Like, he was just tacked onto this game.
My last one is Variety is the Spice of Life, which would be at one point in the game, you use all the different combinations of the copy abilities with the animal friends.
Did you unlock that achievement?
No.
Because that sounds like a very Nicole achievement.
No, but...
Using all 48 combinations?
Yeah, I think it's more than that.
Well, we assume it's 48. Or map, permutation, I don't know, something.
I'll figure it out.
First side, outside, inside,
tomorrow,
last.
Whenever I'm sober, then I'll do the math.
I've only got one, and that is take your shoes off and stay for a while. Every world has a mini-boss that you fight, usually in stage three. There is a weird umbrella leg hybrid of a creature, and it's just a foot that wears a sandal.
Like a Samurai Jack-style sandal.
Yeah, and what you have to do to defeat it is he'll flip his sandal off, and you have to suck it up and spit it back out. The problem is he only flips his sandal off, like, I swear, it's like once every 40 fucking seconds. So this very simple battle took me minutes because you have to hit him multiple times with the sandal. So in order to unlock the achievement, take your shoes off and stay a while, you have to beat him in no less than 5 minutes. You just draw that motherfucker out as long as you can.
Because I saw you fight him like three times, I think, since we sat down and I watched you play, finish it off today.
That was all the same time. That was all. It took that long. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Got a very important question for you. Mm. If you were to swallow another man who had a beard and then digest him and grow that beard, what kind of beard would that be that would perfectly embody Kirby's Dream Land 3?
That would be the musical artist Snoop Dogg, his goatee.
Okay, okay.
Because I believe there's a very popular You're the Man Now, Dog rendition of Snoop Dogg rapping to Kirby's theme.
Yeah, it's essentially proof that Snoop Dogg's Drop It Like It's Hot was a complete ripoff from Kirby's theme song.
It's true.
I'll post that in the show notes. Anyone who hasn't heard that needs to check that out because it is remarkable. It is remarkable. Very good. I like that, Tyler. I don't recall Snoop Dogg wearing glasses. But if he did, no, fuck it. Not curious about that. What I'm curious about is what kind of glasses would Kirby's Dream Land 3 wear?
I don't believe he makes an appearance in the game, but I'm assuming that Kirby's arch rival, Meta Knight, wears a mask.
Visor, yes.
He's got a visor, so I'm going to give it Meta Knight's helmet.
Okay.
Which is good. It conceals your identity. You kind of wonder, who is Meta Knight? Is he Kirby somehow swallowed himself and thus was born Meta Knight?
So it sounds like you liked this game, question mark?
I did. I certainly didn't hate it. I feel like it had its issues, but I can excuse it to a point because it's the third one in the series. They're really trying to do something different. I felt like Kirby was just a background character, but overall I liked it. I think it's rated a little high. Like 70s would be good.
You put it in the 70s?
Yeah. I think it's high 60s is a little high, but I liked it.
I liked it too, and I wanted to say that because I know it seems like I kind of shit on it, but I actually do think this was a good game. It didn't live up to the expectations that I thought it. I thought this was going to be a great game because it's a Nintendo first party game and it's Kirby. I love Kirby. It was too slow for me, but I do think that a lot of people would get enjoyment out of it.
I guess we should also add that your main Smash Brothers character, Kirby.
Always Kirby. Yep.
I don't know if I've seen you play anybody else but Kirby.
I do sparingly because I can't play with anybody else. Nicole, what did you think?
I liked it.
Yeah?
I did. I enjoy Kirby anyway, but I liked it. And I thought it was good. It was slow, but it was also easy. And I like the easy stuff.
Yeah. Like a low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. Some people called us, Tyler.
Oh.
Would you like to hear from them?
Yeah, I would. Keep the gun out of my mouth.
Tyler, Dave, Fitzpaul, William. Yeah, actually, I would be glad to have you guys on the show. I mean, it's called What's Paul Playing Today. You can find it on Facebook, Google+, Twitch, YouTube. I actually had finished Alan Wake by the time I listened to this episode, but I haven't started American Nightmare yet. I'd be glad to have you guys on for the American Nightmare. And yes, please, come. Talk about international soccer. I find it very entertaining, and I think my listeners would too. Take care, guys. Have a good one.
He's that one guy. That one guy who's like, yeah,
international soccer. Yep. All right, let's do it. Tell us what we need to do. We'll be on the show, and we'll plug your web show in the show notes. See what you're playing. We got some more calls.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much, Paul. We will definitely check out your web show. Next caller, Tyler. This guy may sound familiar.
Tyler, Dave, it's Zach. I just left you guys last night after recording the Fatal Fury 2 episode. And I'm in Pennsylvania right now on my way to New York and stopped off at a rest area to use the bathroom. I was outside smoking and just struck up a conversation with another smoker and then went inside and used the restroom. And as I was sitting there, somebody gets up from the stall beside me and I notice their nails are painted on their toes. And they have on pantyhose and high heels. So I was kind of freaked out, but they were man feet. It was really weird. And then all of a sudden, the door shuts, and I realize that I'm in there alone. And I hear the door open back up, and I hear a voice say, "Come over to our car if you want some head." And I was so freaked out, I got up, flushed, got the fuck out of there, walked straight to my car, got in my car, and tore ass out of this rest area. I don't know what goes on in Pennsylvania, but I will never come back to this state. All right, just thought you guys might like to hear that. Bye.
Zach, you didn't wash your hands. You always wash your hands if you use the bathroom. I don't care how many transvestites, I guess, are offering to give you oral pleasure. You wash your hands to stop the spread of disease.
Well, maybe it was just a woman with man's feet. It happens.
That could be true.
He doesn't specifically say what the voice sounded like.
Seinfeld had man hands. Mm-hmm. Why can't there be man feet?
Was it, come to the car if you want some head? Or was it, come to the car if you want some head?
You sound a little bit like Miss Swan for me. Thank you, Zach.
Thanks, Zach.
That's a good thing to hear you send you off on.
God, yes. Love a good rest area story. Got another call.
Hey, Tadpog. This is listener Chris, and I just finished listening to the R-Type 3 episode, and there was some sperm talk in there about some enemies that looked like sperm and how they were changed from Japan to America because they were just sperm in Japan, and in America they had an eye. So that seems like a good enough reason to have a sperm-related story for you guys. So when I was a kid, we would go to the fireworks every July 4th down on the river and had the family and friends down there hanging out. And in fifth grade, I remember, we had a new type of firework that would come up. You would see it go up and explode, and instead of just a regular firework, it would have the little curlicue and like a whistle and spin around to the ground, look like sperm. I'm in fifth grade, so of course I have to lean over to my buddies and say, those look like sperm. I thought I said it quiet enough so just my friends would hear it, but to my horror, complete strangers, two ladies sitting in front of us, heard my sperm comment, and I heard her say to her friend, hey, did you hear what that kid said? Those look like sperm. So now I'm terrified. It's like, oh my God, I said this too loud. The rest of the time, could not enjoy myself. All I could think of is this stranger, this woman is going to go back and tell my parents I made a dirty joke about those sperm fireworks. Could not concentrate. I'm just watching her to see if she's going to make her move back there to go rat me out for my sperm joke. Needless to say, did not happen. Common sense prevailed. No sperm ratting out to my parents or anything like that. But I did not let that stop me from worrying about it for the next week. Every phone call, every knock on the door, I thought, oh, my God, this woman, this stranger has hunted me down. She's going to call my parents. She's going to tell them I made that sperm joke about those fireworks. So after about a week, I got over it. She didn't call, didn't rat me out. Nothing happened. But, you know, it's fifth grade, and telling a dirty joke or saying a bad word is the worst thing that can possibly happen to you. And that's what I worried about for 2 weeks straight. So, R-Type 3.
I think my favorite part is when you were describing the fireworks, Chris. And I think everyone at this table just kind of nodded because we knew exactly what firework you were talking about.
Listener, Chris, we have pinpointed your calling location. I know your mom's phone number, and I'm calling her, and I'm going to rat you out on the sperm joke.
Well, I like to think this is probably one big misunderstanding. The lady in front of you probably thought it was funny, and she was mentioning to her friend, did you hear what that kid called? She said he said it looked like sperm. It does.
It does.
The other lady's like, oh, yeah, I see it.
Looks like we've seen plenty of sperm in our days. That does look like sparkly sperm. That kid's got it right. That kid's probably seen loads of sperm. Fifth grade, that's all you see.
Mm, yes.
Yeah, fifth grade. Yeah, everywhere.
Thanks for calling, Chris. Got another call, Tyler.
Right.
We're very popular this week. Makes How does that make happy. You feel? Yeah?
I put the gun away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sold it.
Yeah. I'll give it to you when it comes time for 5-star reviews.
I'll need it.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Lord Mike here. Lord Mike of Purdue. Jeez, I can't talk today. With this week's Would You Rather, brought to you this week by Ecto High C. I think that's what Dave called it. I'm not sure. I've never drunk the junk, but he said it was good, so I'm going to go with it. And I've also got an additional bonus challenge for Tadpog listeners and for Megalixir. I've got a song from the 90s. Let's see if you can ID it. I'm going to turn it up and see how good this comes through. So here you go. Oh.
bad girl is
I hope that came through all right. Maybe not, but we'll leave that up to you guys to see see who can come up with the answer for that one. And now we'll get to this week's Would You Rather, another 90s reference. This week's would you rather eat your weight in fruit roll-ups or would you rather eat your weight in fruit by the foot? I'm going to go with fruit by the foot because it probably isn't going to be as much judging by it's a foot. And there's some kind of math in there somewhere that would maybe, you know, hopefully keep it from not putting on, you know, like 80 million pounds. But there's my answer. Look forward to your guys. Keep up the good work. Talking to you soon.
Lord Mike bringing the heat this week.
I know. All right. I'll make a Facebook post. What I need to know is the name of the movie that song appeared in, the name of the song, and what format it was on, VHS, DVD.
The people who sang it. I don't know if it's a group. I don't know if it's one per. I don't know. Yeah.
Whew.
I know the answer. He texted, he Facebooked it to me earlier, and I was like, is that your guess for the Megalixir song? I don't listen to the calls until we actually do the show. I assure you that's not what it is.
It's also Ecto Cooler.
That's what I said. Yeah, said that, I was like, all right,
it's a nice try, though, Lord Mike. Nice try.
There's a whole, I believe there's like a subreddit devoted to trying to replicate Ecto Cooler.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Trying to get the exact recipe down. People loved Ecto Cooler so much. I know I did.
Yeah, hell yes.
Every time I went to that Piggly Wiggly that is now a food giant, sadly.
But I just liked it because Slimer was on the box. Mm-hmm. Really. You could fucking give me a Diet Coke with Slimer on it and be like, yep, tastes just like Ecto Cooler, dog.
I've got Adam's Family in one hand and Ecto Cooler in the other. That's my Piggly Wiggly Saturday.
So, I got to go fruit roll up because Fruit by the Foot is nasty.
Okay, well, 12. Okay, a foot is 12 inches. So, 12 inches times my
In America.
Own, times my, oh, fuck. the imperial unit.
Fruit by the meter.
So, yeah, that times my weight. I don't know what that is, but it will end up, as Lord Mike said, 80 million pounds. That's a lot of corn syrup and gelatin. It's a lot of carbohydrates. It's a lot of insulin released.
What is least likely to kill us?
I'd say they're both very, very valid. I guess I don't remember eating much fruit by the foot. I remember I wanted it. Mom never bought it for me, but I did occasionally get roll-ups because I like peeling the characters out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
describe the difference to me so I can remember.
Because fruit roll-up is like the paper-thin sheet of corn syrup, fruit, gelatin. Uh-huh. And sometimes they would have shapes cut in it you could peel out and eat. But it was pressed between two layers of saran wrap and then rolled up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then fruit by the foot, you'll have...
Fruit by the foot was essentially a fruit roll-up, but instead of it being like on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, it was just on like a long ticker tape.
Yes, that's the one I liked.
You couldn't pull shapes out of it, Nicole. How could you like that?
I like the way that it tasted better.
You need to be entertained by your after-school snack.
I say fruit roll-up. Okay. She says fruit by the foot.
No, I gotta go fruit roll-up. Fruit roll-ups have it.
I don't. And the drink that you were talking about, I don't have no idea what that is.
Oh, Nicole.
Orange High C had slight cartoon Slimer on the front.
It was green.
Are you sure? I thought it was... The juice was green, right? And then the box was orange?
The box was orange. Right? Yeah,
okay,
juice
that's
was,
what I mean.
The
yeah.
juice was green. Because yeah. I remember it was like it was supposed to be like slime.
Yeah.
I was probably cooler. Like 4 when you guys were drinking this, so...
So then I was 9, Dave was 11.
Yeah, I was like 40. Thanks for calling, Lord Mike.
Always appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Someone else called us. I think Nicole might recognize this person.
Hi, Tadpog. This is Josh, your friend and occasional guest host, mainly uninvited guest host. But hey, I was calling because ideally you should be hosting, or my wife should be hosting today. Hopefully I've called in time. So I was going to pose a question to you guys and my wife. What would be your ideal apocalyptic scenario? For whatever reason, you are a survivor. If you choose like zombie apocalypse, you would be immune to the zombie virus, bites, whatever. super flu, whatever. Maybe you just get lucky during the alien invasion that wipes out the rest of the planet. But what would be your ideal apocalyptic scenario to survive in? Personally, I'm going to go with Ragnarok. I think that would be pretty cool to fight alongside the Vikings and gods. It'd be like a real life D&D game where you're fighting all these monsters and frost giants and what have you. So it's a little out of the box there, but yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Ragnar. So I hope recording is going well. I love you, hon, and you too, Nicole. So I will talk to you guys later. Goodbye.
Before we answer, I want to say that I really like how Josh introduced himself, like he was Gal from Final Fantasy VI. This is Josh. I am your friend.
I will join you uninvited.
Do we have answers? What's our ideal apocalypse?
I have an answer.
Yeah?
Okay. Yes. Go for it. I would pick zombie apocalypse because I think that it would be fun to kill zombies and it would give you something to do.
Josh said the same thing. I remember Josh and I, when we started at Murray State, it was kind of hard to get Josh to go to class. Josh didn't go to class a lot his first three semesters at Murray State. And I remember trying to talk to him about it. His typical response was, hey man, it'd be so much better if, you know, there was a zombie apocalypse and I had to kill zombies to go to class. Then I'd probably go to class.
That's more work. That's more work to go to class. You just want to murder.
We've got to get up like a car covered in spikes and guns, and then we try to go to class. For some reason, it's still in session in the zombie apocalypse. I mean, part of me thinks Fallout, nuclear war would be interesting.
Yeah, I figured you were going to go Fallout route.
But I also think, I'm not sure exactly the exact circumstances, but that episode of The Twilight Zone where everybody else just disappears. Everything is intact, so then I could just, there's all that time to read and there's probably electricity for a little while. I can play all my Steam games. There's so much time. And then my laptop breaks. There's so much time. Or I would also go, I think it would be interested, the revolution route where electricity just vanishes.
That'd be horrible.
I think that would be entertaining.
That'd be horrible. I don't think it's nearly as entertaining as it sounds. Because like that would be like, ooh, for like 30 minutes. And then it would be like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do?
But there's power out there somewhere. You have to find it again. It's like not totally gone.
It's like that episode of South Park where the internet's down.
The scene where he goes in and has the hand-drawn pornography is probably one of my favorite comedic moments in any TV show ever.
My ideal apocalypse would be an X-Men mutant apocalypse. Because it only affects mutants.
Okay.
I'm not a mutant.
So the legacy virus comes in.
So I can just go on with my day-to-day, and those fucking muties can deal with it.
Take that, Josh.
That's it. Thanks for calling, Josh.
Joanne Livingston let me down. Called her out last week. I wanted to hear from her this week. Nothing.
She coerced James to call.
That's true. Well, we've got people to thank, too.
We got some people to thank?
Mm-hmm. All right, so for Facebook shares, Lord Mike, Joey, John, Nicole, Josh, and Jess.
Thank you.
For tweets, Nicole, Laura, Lord Mike, and Tony. For art, I think it qualifies as art, Lord Mike started a Tadpog GTA 5 group.
Which we can't join.
Sadly, we cannot join because neither one of us have the game yet. Right. And if we do procure it, it will not be for Xbox 360.
Right.
So he can have the original Tadpog. We'll start Tadpog 2 on PC.
Tadpog 2, The Adventures of Tyler and Dave.
No 5-star reviews this week.
No. Yeah, but I do have to thank Dennis, because I saw him over the weekend, and he bought me some beer. So thanks for that, Dennis. By now, the time you're listening, Dennis, you may be a dad, so congratulations on that.
Because remember, when we went up there, he told us. Mm-hmm. So now it's about time. Does it feel like it's been 9 months?
I know.
So did you thank Dennis? Also, Wiley Ammons was very appreciative of our last episode. So thank you, Wiley Ammons. I want to thank Ashley Shake because he randomly just bought me a Steam game the other day.
Nice.
Like Steam Serve. I believe it was called. He's like, hey, Doc, Dr. Cook, here you go. Happy early Christmas.
Awesome.
Thank you. So thank you, Ashley Shake. You'll, by the time next Christmas comes around, you'll get to this episode. It'll be like, oh, you're welcome. let's see, Eerily Silent. I'm starting to forget what Blake Woods sounds like. Mm-hmm. I want to hear Blake Woods again.
Thank God I forgot what he looks like.
Boom! Burn Blake Woods! And then, because he refuted the claim in person, but has not refuted in Tadpog, I'm going to say Sean Miller, Eerily Silent. He's probably at prom. He's been going to like the last 15 proms. Motherfucker's at prom every year, and he's like 42 now. Still going to high school proms. If you're not Sean Miller, come on and say something or call in and say something. Otherwise, just promaholic. Except Tadpog prom. You're not Tadpog prom. Don't know why.
Mm-mm.
Nicole, you have anybody you want to thank?
No.
We want to thank all you for being on the show.
We appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. I had fun. Maybe you'll have me back.
You tell us what other game you want to play. That's fine.
Alan Wake, special episode.
I'm down with that. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, so you don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about IGN's 61st ranked game, Joe and Mac 2,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that one.
I am too.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, write a review. I'll just give you stuff. I'll just give you stuff. It's fine. Just give it to you. You can have it for a review. I'll trade. That's a slight Jacob impression I'm doing right now. Talking about stuff. So that's all I got.
Don't worry, guys. Tyler and I will be back next week. Nicole will be living a new life in Mexico without Josh.
Womp womp.
In the meantime, if you can't wait for more Tadpog goodness, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes are. Anything we reference here that you don't get, check out tadpog.com. And you still might not get it, but you may get lost watching funny videos and shit.
There you go.
We're also on Facebook.
Clear your history afterward.
Yeah, definitely. Don't do it at work. No, actually, most of it's safe for work.
Most of it. If you want to play, it'd be a fun game playing that gamble. So.
It's like Russian roulette for your job. We're also on Facebook. You can find us at facebook.com/tadpog. And that's where you can see a lot of the wonderful art that Tyler has mentioned. And there's some good conversations going on there pretty much always.
I give away games sometimes.
Yep. We give away games. And actually, I wanted to thank Matt for posting an article about a device called SNES OIP.
Mm.
I'm not going to tell you anything about it because I want you to go to the Facebook page to find out what Matt's talking about.
It's incredible.
It is incredible.
Oh, my God.
Also, some people called us, like you heard earlier. If you want to get in touch with us, call Tadpog Hotline. Why not? We like getting calls.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps the gun out of Tyler's mouth. Yeah,
we each have things we put guns in our mouth over.
Give us a call at 270-883-2555. Follow us on Twitter at Tadpog_podcast.
Mm-hmm. You can also email us, Tyler@tadpog.com, Dave@tadpog.com. Questions, comments, suggestions for anything.
Dick pics.
No, don't. We'll forward them to Nicole if we get any. Just say for Nicole.
They're not for us.
No.
They're not for us.
We'll only look at them like a few times.
Couple times.
We'll review them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give them beards and glasses.
Right.
I'll send them to Nicole. She'll draw beards and glasses on them. And then we'll put them on the secret XXX Facebook group.
That's behind the paywall.
Tadpog XXX. Love it. And then, of course, if you want to send Nicole dick pics, which we all have, you'll have to follow her on Twitter. Mm-hmm. What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is at Ellison Lezah. That is ELOCINLEZAH.
That'll be in the show notes. Nicole.
Yes.
Our intro song.
Yes.
Is
Moves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Good. By
Sycamore Drive.
All right. Where can someone find a link to that song?
In the show notes.
At tadpog.com. You've been here before, so
that didn't really count.
Yeah, but still, thanks for doing it.
Next time we'll throw a huge curveball.
I'll actually use a different intro song.
And you won't have heard it because the show comes out next week.
That's not fair.
That's the show, I guess.
Is that the train?
That's the time gate from Chrono Trigger. It's going to open and swallow us all.
Yeah.